Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
We're starting a new series today, and I'm super excited about it. When we brainstormed this series, Pastor Deanna came up with an amazing title for the series, okay? And I voted for it, and then they voted me out. They said, no, we're not going to do that, okay? So the title she came up with was this: Get Off Your Assets. Now, you can see why they didn't want me to do it, but see, I still worked it in anyway, right? And in case you're listening on the podcast, it's A-S-S-E-T-S, okay? There's a T in there. So, but we decided that the content actually didn't line up with that. So that was the major reason we didn't go with it. Over the next few weeks, you're going to have the opportunity to learn about trust funds, and you'll see it on the YouTube channels, the app, and all those places. Go to our website if you miss any of the messages or if you want to share it with your friends. But we landed on trust funds, and as I started thinking about that this week, I was thinking, so what is a trust fund? When you hear the word trust fund, your mind might go to that spoiled rich kid on Instagram who is just enjoying their parents' money, right? Anybody go there with your thinking? No? Well, they're there. You should look at them. But I've actually figured out the solution for that, okay? And I believe it was actually passed down to me unintentionally by my parents, is have no money to give them, right? And then they don't become a spoiled trust fund kid. But ultimately, a trust fund is simply this. It is a resource that is set aside by someone who loves you, who cares about you, for your benefit, if you can learn to trust. It's not instant, and it's not earned. It's provided in trust when you've learned to trust. What if I told you that's a similar way that God works with us? We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5-7, and today we're in chapter 6. And this part of the Sermon on the Mount, especially the giving part, Jesus is teaching us something here. He's teaching us how to tap in to the trust fund that God has already set aside for your life. How good is that? You're excited now, aren't you? We're going to figure out how to tap into the trust funds today, right? No, you're not excited about that? Oh, wow, okay, well, I'll keep it to myself, and I'll tap into your trust funds too. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to explore how we can trust God with our money. We're going to explore how we can avoid the pitfalls of pride, performance, and people-pleasing. We're going to discover how we can access that reward that Jesus talks about, which is much greater than the applause of people. It's from the Father in heaven. And he set that aside for you. Because in God's economy, it's not about how much you give. Yes, we're talking about giving, in case you hadn't figured it out. It's all about how much you trust in him. That's what God values. Now, we're going to start with this, because I think we are all more generous than we actually think, right? Do you know that? How many of you like to do something good for someone? Right? You like? Do you like it when it's not noticed? Like this. You empty the dishwasher heroically. All right? You recognized it needed to be done all on your own. Nobody had to tell you, and you did it, and you did a good job. You actually put everything exactly where it really goes, okay? Not just the man version. And then your spouse comes home or your parent comes home, and it's not noticed. There's no applause. There's no medal. There's not even a nod or a thank you. So what do you do when that happens? Well, you go back in the kitchen. And you open that cutlery drawer, and you go, and you open the cabinet where the pots and pans are, and you start slamming. Anybody? Thanks for listening. Because we don't want to just do something good. We want to be noticed for doing something good. So we're actually more generous than you think until there's no applause. See, that's actually not generosity. That's actually low-grade addiction to approval. And we all suffer from this whole approval addiction thing, because we like affirmation, we like accolades, we like people to think well of us. And you know what? Jesus actually understood this. In the Sermon on the Mount, we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and Matthew was the tax collector turned follower of Jesus, and he was a really good guy. And he wrote this. These were Jesus' words that he wrote down. He said, "Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you." See, in Matthew 6, Jesus is actually not going after our money. He's going after our hearts. And by the way, can I give a quick disclaimer here? If you're new here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, especially if you're not a follower of Jesus, the things that I just read that Jesus is telling us to do, you don't have to listen to. Okay? If you're not a follower of Jesus, it's not a requirement for you. The rest of you, you need to do what Jesus says, all right? But for those of you that aren't Jesus followers yet, can I tell you, if you actually try to do the things Jesus said to do, even if you're not ready to follow him yet, your life will be better, and you will be better at life, okay? We really believe that around here. So anyway, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is not going after our wallet. He's going after our hearts, because we're not talking just about money here. In fact, that's not the priority. The priority is motive. He's talking about our motive. It's not about finances. It's about trust. It's about intimacy with God. And ultimately, it's about our own discipleship, our own growth and maturity in following Jesus. And that's reflected in how we view money. So back to the beginning. It says, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others. Jesus is saying here that motives matter more than applause. Why you do something matters more than the accolades you're going to get for doing it. He's saying this is about why we give, not whether we give. It's not about what we give or how much. It's about the why. What is motivating us to that? See, he's drawing a line between authentic worship and image management. Think about that. Whether we're serving or whether we're giving, is it about worship because we're really wanting to worship God with that? Or is it because we're managing our image? That's what Jesus is challenging here. Because see, the Pharisees, they didn't just give. They performed generosity. That's what Jesus was talking about here when he said the phrase to be admired by others. That actually comes from the Greek word theamai, which is where we get our English word theater. They made a production out of their giving because they wanted to be seen. Jesus is saying, don't turn generosity into a performance. It might have looked something like this. Anybody remember these? Right? These are like 100 years old, I think. And we used to pass these down the aisle. For those of you that aren't church people, we'd pass them down the aisle for you to put money into. All right? And if you didn't give, we'd leave it there in front of you a little bit longer, right? Right? Until it was full. And then, anyway. Then we went from this to buckets because we like the buckets better. And then we, after COVID, we just kicked the bucket. And so now you got boxes in the back. But here's the deal, okay? Giving would have looked something like this, okay? I'm getting ready to give. So I've got my money here. I've got my money, but I want to make sure Everybody looking? Are you looking? Here we go, there we go. Hey, just in case you didn't see it, look, 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 look. Thanks, Pastor Enike. I got no claps in the first service. And I asked why, they said, because it wasn't enough. So, that is pretty dramatic. But that's what they were doing, because they made a drama out of their giving. They made generosity loud so they would get the applause of people. And by the way, I traumatized Andrew desperately this morning now by beating on his cymbal. He was really uncomfortable with that, but anyway, let's move on. The wisest person who ever lived wrote this in the book of Proverbs in our Old Testament. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. People may be pure in their own eyes. See, we can convince everybody around us that our motives are pure and we're doing things for the right reason because we can use the words that are right. And I would suggest we can even convince ourselves sometimes. But God knows the truth. He knows what's deep in our heart. And if we're honest with ourselves, many times our motives are not pure. Paul was writing a letter to a church, some believers in Galatia, and he was telling them some hard things that might actually make them uncomfortable and actually mad at him. And he said this, "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God?" And he said that with some sarcasm. He's like, "Hey, at the end of the day, I got to tell you what I got to tell you. And if you don't like it, too bad, because I'm doing this for an audience of one. I'm doing this because I want God's approval, not necessarily yours." A couple of weeks ago, I talked about a couple in Acts chapter 5 named Ananias and Sapphira. And if you remember that, if you were here for that, I apologize that I'm sharing this again because, but they're just the perfect illustration. These guys were part of the early church, and another guy called Barnabas had sold some property and gave all the money to the apostles to run the church with. Ananias and Sapphira saw that, and they thought, we can get some approval if we do the same thing. We'll get some pats on the back if we do the same thing. People will like us and say good things about us if we do the same thing. So they sold the land, but then they decided, well, we can just give part of the money, but we're going to say we gave it all. Bad move. That was not a good move for them. They both died because of it. They lied to God. They lied to the Holy Spirit. God knew their hearts. Their hearts, if they had given half the money, that would have been okay with God. If they just said, yeah, this is what we're giving. He never asked for the whole thing. But they claimed they were doing the whole thing because they wanted approval of people. They weren't concerned about the authentic worship in their giving. See, Jesus here, he's not condemning public giving. He's calling out performance giving, giving that is driven by ego and not love. So if we evaluate this for ourselves, we do a bit of a heart check. We got some things we can ask ourselves. When I give, do I want it to be noticed? Do I want people to know what I'm doing that's good, my charitable deeds? If I don't get any likes on that post where I posted that I was doing good stuff, does it not count? Am I more concerned sometimes with my own reputation than I am about making sure God gets the glory? You know, it's not wrong to pat somebody on the back and tell them they did a good job or what they did was good. But the right response to that for us, if we're that person, is to say, you know what, it's all about God. I didn't do that for applause. I did that for God. See, if we're honest, though, a lot of our generosity is about self-promotion and that addiction to approval that we just can't shake. God doesn't just see our action. He doesn't just see the gift that we give. He actually sees the motive behind it. Why did we do it? And that's what he's most interested in. You know, this is a sermon about giving, but it's not really because it's all about the heart and it's about the why. And The reason is because if we get that sorted out, the money takes care of itself if we have the right motives. So, see, we don't need to give stuff to impress God or to impress others. We need to give generously because we've been had his grace impressed upon us. Jesus goes on and he says, when you give, don't blow trumpets or beat cymbals to call attention like the hypocrites do. The Pharisees had a problem with the production. They were acting as hypocrites. The Greek word that's used for hypocrites means to wear a mask. So Jesus is staying with the theater theme. That they're wearing a mask. They're acting out a drama, a play, literally. The words blowing trumpets there, that could be literal trumpets. They played the blew the shofar in the temple. Or it could just be a metaphor. But essentially saying, don't call attention to yourself when you're doing this. Because of this. Because hypocrisy hides in loud giving. That's what Jesus is telling them. It's like, you guys are actually being like hypocrites. In your loud giving, you're drawing attention to yourself. It's not authentic worship to me. They wanted applause. They didn't see giving as worship. They saw giving as actually building status. And the religious elite had turned giving into theater. And these guys, they were actually the original influencers. Okay, before there was social media, they were posting about their good deeds so everybody could like it and love it and think that they were great and wonderful. They were doing it to be seen, not to serve. An example of it in Luke chapter 18. Luke is another one of Jesus' followers that wrote about Jesus' life. And in Luke chapter 18, Jesus told a story. He says this, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven. As he prayed, instead he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Jesus said these words, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. See, the Pharisees were calculating their generosity by what they could get. They wanted praise. They wanted status. They wanted influence. And if they could gain that, then they would invest all day long. Jesus says, that's all the reward you're going to get. That's it. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but human praise and accolades, they are short-lived and can be quite empty. You know, we all like human accolades, accolades from other people. Tell us we do a good job or we did a good thing or whatever. But how long does that last? If I do good stuff today for you or around you, you might pat me on the back for it. What about tomorrow? Do you care what I did yesterday, tomorrow? Or today, tomorrow? It's short-lived. In fact, when you stop performing, people actually can go dirty on you. And the same ones that were praising you can actually turn against you. Anybody experience that? Don't raise your hands. We know that to be true in life, but we crave it so much, and we want to do anything we can to get it. But it's temporary. It's short-lived. So can I suggest that we silence the trumpet? Have you donated or served or supported something more for how it made you look than out of love? Have you ever done that? Do you give for love or do you give for likes? Even your own internal ones where you know you did something good. See, if we need people to know or if we're doing it to make ourselves feel good about ourselves, then it's not worship of God. So how can we retrain our heart in this area? A few things. Try this week. This week, give something this week and tell no one. Don't tell anyone about it. In fact, don't even journal it yourself. Let it disappear into God's economy. If we give to someone or something in need without any opportunity to get credit for it, you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out how freeing that is and the immense joy that can be behind that because you did it anonymously. You'll be surprised. Jesus goes on, he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He's saying here that private giving trains public trust. When we give privately, we're training ourselves to trust publicly. Jesus is talking about the inward feelings and emotions and motives about why we do what we do. He's talking really about humility. So that our giving doesn't become a point of pride even within ourselves, much less expressed to other people. Because when we give in quiet, we put a deeper surrender and a deep trust in God. Mark chapter 12, again, another one of Jesus' disciples that wrote about his life. Mark chapter 12 tells a story about they were in the temple near where the offering was taken up, and Jesus was sitting over to the side. And you've got the Pharisees and the religious leaders going in saying, yeah, 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 I'm giving, look, bang, 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 you know, all that. And then there was a widow, a poor widow, who had 2 coins, and she dropped them in. It wasn't much, and it was unnoticed by anyone except Jesus. And Jesus said, wow, this widow, this poor widow, gave more than all the rest because she actually gave the money that she needed to live off of. And the rest of you, you gave from your extra. She gave quietly, but Jesus made her example an everlasting one. We have it recorded as an example to us. She had no platform and no applause, but her motive was seen in trusting God. You know, for you and I, it's about spiritual formation. It's about us training ourselves to trust God and our souls to lean into Him and be more concerned about what He thinks and trust what He provides more than what we can do ourselves. How do we build this muscle of trust? Well, I'll go back to what I challenged you to do before. Look for a need this week and meet it quietly. Maybe rework your giving habits. Like, for instance, we talk about setting your amount of giving and then forgetting it and letting it sit. Well, what if you did that not for convenience but for consistency so that you learn to give consistently? And here's a big one. Ask yourself this question, whether it be about money or whether it be about serving, giving up your time or anything. Ask this. If I trusted God in this area of my life, what would change? What would change if I truly trusted God with my finances? If I truly trusted God with my schedule when I needed to give some time to someone else? What would change if I really trusted God? We need to build habits of generosity that aren't about being remembered, but are about remembering what God has done for us. Because, see, real generosity, it's not just moving money. It actually moves our heart closer to God. That's Jesus' whole point here, is I want your heart. I want your heart to be in alignment with me. He goes on, your Father who sees everything will reward you. This is a beautiful point here. God sees what people don't, and that's enough. If we're doing it so people can see it, we have our reward. But if God sees, He sees the why, and He sees the action, He sees it all, that can be enough. See, Jesus is saying in this conclusion here, God sees, God remembers, and God rewards in His way, in His time, and for His glory. Now, if you, in the beginning here today, were excited about tapping into the trust fund, let me let you know, this isn't a pokey machine payoff. It's not the winning lottery ticket. It's God's rewards. It's spiritual joy. It's eternal impact. It's intimacy with God. The payoff's not some cash or applause, but intimacy with the Father, because the Father who sees meets us in the secret. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 assures us, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown him. See, God sees what's going on. He sees the young family with a couple of kids that are struggling in today's economy to barely make ends meet, still saying, I'm going to tithe first. I talked to somebody a couple of weeks ago about that. He sees the older saint on a fixed pension that barely gets by, putting giving to him first. He sees the teenager who gives their birthday money to missions or the building fund. He sees those things. And we need to be motivated by the fact that he sees those things. And we need to give for God's delight, not man's praise. We need to trust that God sees our sacrifice even when no one else does. And we need to not look for applause, but look for affirmation. You need to ask yourself this question. What do I want more? Do I want applause from people or alignment with God's heart? All right, I'm going to take a survey. No, I'm not. Because if I did, every single one of us would say, I want alignment with God's heart. But how much time and how much energy do we spend going after the first one? Because we are addicted to approval. We're addicted to approval. And friends, a heart aligned with the heart of God is so much more valuable than me saying, great job, Pastor Inike. That's cheap. That was easy, because you do a great job all the time. I love you, man. Friends, we need a gut check about this, because until God's approval becomes enough, we're going to be chasing after this approval from people, and we're going to chase it, and we're going to craft our giving and our serving like a brand so that we make sure people know it. And worst of all, we're going to miss the joy of quiet obedience. As I start to wind this down, I would be remiss not to bring out to you that this whole thing about giving, it's actually a gospel issue. It's a gospel issue. In case you, what is the gospel? The gospel is that we are sinners and Jesus came and died for our sins and rose again. He took care of our sins. But when he did that, he gave in the most hidden, humble, quiet way possible. There wasn't a trumpet at the cross. Just suffering. Sacrifice and love. It wasn't glamorous. It was painful. It was lonely. It was bloody. It was hidden. And yet it was the most meaningful act in history, because through that, salvation was spread to all the earth, to all the people. That's why we're here today. And that's our model. It's not about what we give. It's about why. And we don't give to earn God's favor. We give because we already have God's favor. And we don't give to be blessed. We give from a place of blessing because we're already blessed. So what do we do with all this? This week, do something good or give something to someone that no one will know about. You get no credit for it, no spotlight, no applause. Put some cash in an envelope and leave it for somebody without your name on it or anything. If you can arrange it, go and anonymously pay somebody's bill. Find somebody that needs something. Increase your giving to church without saying anything about it. Just do it. And do it as worship, not as obligation. Because when you do it and you're quiet about it, God sees and that's enough. God sees and that is enough. You know, we live in a world that's loud. Today we're not talking as much about money as we are motive. I hope you've picked that up. But we live in a loud world, but heaven operates, God operates more in the quiet than he does the loud. But here's a bit of a twist. You don't have to announce your good works or your giving to live a loud life. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, we covered this a couple of months ago. It says, let your light so shine before men, your good works, they'll see your good works and they'll glorify your Father in heaven, right? It's not because you're doing that, putting the spotlight on it and saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. Say, people will see the good. They'll see the results and they're gonna glorify who? Not you, God. That's the beauty, and that's living loud. That's living large, because we're pointing the accolades and praise to Jesus. So friends, I want us to be the kind of church that isn't giving just for impact. We talk about impact a lot. But I want us to be a church that and individuals that are giving for intimacy, because when we have that, the rest of it will take care of itself. We trust, we sow, and we let go of the spotlight, and we trust the Father who sees what's done in secret, then to provide the rewards. I'm gonna ask you to stand while I close, then we're gonna sing. Here's what I want you to take home this week. We need to give quietly, not making sound or beating a drum, just do it, give, serve. But because of that, you can live loudly. Well, people will see it, whether you're drawing attention to it or not, and they will glorify God. They'll glorify your Father in heaven. But the way you're gonna do that, the way you're gonna give quietly, and that's gonna cause you to live loudly, is because you're trusting fully. We've got to trust God. Trust funds. That's what this is all about, is trusting God with everything. Father, thank you that we can trust you. Thank you for being the great provider. Thank you that, Lord, we serve, we give, we live from a place of your approval already, and we don't need other people's approval. Thank you, Lord, for the times that it's there. But Lord, help us also respond by deflecting when it's there. Help us to make sure people know it's all about you and not about us. Lord, you are a good God. You are a generous God. Help us, because of your goodness, because of your grace, because of your generosity to us, help us to be generous people. And help us do it quietly so that we're living loudly because we're fully trusting in you. In Jesus' name, amen.